The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter.
How do we make it simple?
Try to stop a lot of the buzzwords.
A chance to change the way a whole industry works.
For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.
Welcome to the IAB Australia podcast. I'm Gay Leroy, CEO of the IAB in Australia. Over the last couple of years in particular, there have been significant changes in the way consumers plan and shop for their holidays and Christmas needs. Many marketers will have already been active in market with activity or at least locking down plans. Today, we're chatting to two industry leaders who can provide some insight into the holiday market, including findings from InMobi's Holiday Shopping Guide for 2022 in Australia, as well as some tips for marketers and publishers. I'd like to welcome Valentina Lizzie, who's the Senior Manager Platforms ANZ for InMobi. Welcome, Val.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Bobby Gersbrack, Planning Director, APAC, M&C Saatchi. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure. Now, in this series, we're using the opportunity to get to know the people in our industry, and particularly how they found themselves in the industry, why they're working in it, if it was a lifelong plan or a happy accident. Val, if I start with you, what was your journey into media?
Well, I kind of fell into media. It wasn't something that I planned at all. I need actually got 2 degrees in architecture and urban planning. But actually, when I finished to study, I started working in that field. I kind of realized that I just wasn't seeing myself working in that industry. So I tried to give it a good go, did a couple of internships, and then realized that it was just not working for me. So at the time, I was like, okay, I don't know what to do now. So I decided actually to take some time off, maybe travel around the world for a bit and then decide what to do next. Problem was that I didn't have enough money saving in my bank account. So I decided to take a step back and find a job, save some money, and then travel for a bit. At the time, I was living in Milan, and I got a job in the customer service department of Just Eat, which is known here as Menulogger. And at the time, it was a really small startup. We didn't even have a proper office, because actually the concept of ordering food online was something that was still very, very new to people. There wasn't even an app yet. And then when I was working there, I was working quite closely with the marketing department. And I remember kind of like overhearing their conversations and thinking, this sounds actually very interesting. I want to learn how to do this. So actually the money that I was saving for the trip, I invested that money for a master, postgraduate master in marketing. And that year I started studying again, went back to school, kept that job. And then when I finished that that master, I decided to go abroad. So I started sending CVs across half Europe. And then in the end, I got this internship in Amsterdam for this SSP called Improve Digital. And then I started working there in the technical account management team. And basically, I went from, planning urban developments, dealing with the angry and hungry customers, to debugging line items and reading bid requests. And for some reason, it was something that I really loved doing. So when that internship finished, I actually decided to stay in Amsterdam, find another job. And I started working for this company called Just Premium, which is now part of Gangama. And they were focusing on rich media. And it was actually a really good experience for me, because I've got a bit of exposure across different markets. I work on the US market, a few countries in Europe, and also MENA market. And when I moved to Australia, I actually explore a bit more the demand side, and I started working at InMobi. And I worked there for quite a bit in their platforms team. And then 3 years ago, I joined InMobi, and basically now I lead the platforms team, and we basically work on the exchange and programmatic side of the business.
And we're very lucky to have you in the industry, but I'm wondering what your parents said after you did architecture and then went, I don't want to do that anymore. Was that an interesting conversation to have?
Yeah, actually, my parents, when I try to explain actually what programmatic is and what I do, they still have many questions around it.
Fair enough. How about you, Bobby?
Yeah, I sort of knew that I wanted to do something in communications. So I did a communications degree at UTS in Sydney, but I majored in PR to begin with. And so I went down that path of doing PR internships. And I guess a bit like Val, I sort of came to the realization it really wasn't for me in terms of an industry. I guess there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, which is fine. But I just was kind of feeling like all of that sort of exposure we were getting for clients was really hard to quantify and kind of measure what that value was to them. And so I kind of shifted into digital media, which we all know is a lot more accountable. And I went into sort of the agency side of digital media, which as a young person straight out of uni was a lot of fun. So definitely some halo advantages there. But that's kind of been the path I've taken throughout my career with agencies. I've really enjoyed that because you get to work with so many different types of clients in so many different markets. And most recently, I've been in a regional role with an agency called M&C Saatchi Performance. And I think a lot of people, especially in Australia, understand M&C Saatchi to be a creative agency, which is very much the case. But in more recent years, they've diversified their offering to media and to mobile and to all sorts of different areas through acquiring other businesses. And so that was the case for M&C Saatchi Performance. We were originally known as M&C Saatchi Mobile. And what we were was one of the first mobile specialized media agencies to launch, which happened back in 2006. So, you know, pre-App Store times.
Yes.
So with M&C Saatchi, we've really kind of lived through the journey from when mobile was very much, I guess, an arbitrary inclusion on a lot of brands' media plans, kind of a nice to have.
Yeah, just something one kind line of like at the bottom, right?
Yeah, mobile. Exactly. It's like, oh, we better do something on mobile, right?
Yeah.
And of course now we've really moved through time into a situation where if you don't get mobile right, it's kind of the difference between success and failure for both digital businesses and traditional businesses. So that's been a really cool journey to go on with M&C Performance. And the other cool part of what I've been able to do sort of over the last 7-ish years, I think it's been now, is work on the Australian market, but also have the opportunity to work across regional areas in Southeast Asia, et cetera. So it's really kind of cool to see what's going on there. There are certainly some similarities to come down to Australia, but differences as well. So I think overall it's a great industry to be involved with if you want that diversification of clients and geos to work with.
You definitely have a special take on the topic we're talking about today, because the APAC market in terms of commerce and consumer habits is quite different. But Val, I might start with you. You've done some research in this market, as I know you do in many markets, that's really trying to pick apart sort of that consumer mindset and planning journey in terms of that holiday shopping feel. What are the highlights from the research? What sort of stuck out to you as interesting things that we can learn from?
So basically Moby this year has worked on a research piece to try to understand better what's the shopping sentiment for Australians this year, and also provide marketers with some insights that can actually then they can use across their media strategies. And basically, this research highlights that this year there are three main trends and shifts happening, and all of three are actually focusing on the consumer journey. So when people actually start making plans about buying Christmas presents, where they do the researches about what type of present to buy, what brand of what product, and where they actually purchase the present. And we are noticing that this year, the planning phase has started way ahead compared to 2021. Indeed, half of Australians already in September, October already knew that they were going to buy Christmas presents during Black Friday and Cyber Monday this year. And we are also seeing that mobile is dominating as the most critical channel for the exploring and researching phase for 56% of Australian shoppers. While actually the preference for in-store visits is moving to the second place, with only 31% of shoppers deciding to go directly into store for the browsing phase. And this is, I think, one of the trends that is kind of like remaining with us from COVID, because actually people during the pandemic spend more time on their phones, trying to stay connected with people for entertaining and buying as well. And then the last piece is more focused on where people is going to purchase their presents. And this year we are seeing a mix of online versus offline, a hybrid model, with 44% of Australians predicting to shop both in-store and on mobile. So there are definitely some really big differences in the shopping behavior this year compared to 2021.
Yeah, and Bobby, from a client point of view, do those trends resonate? Are you seeing sort of your clients get in early and activity, you know, really connecting with consumers earlier in the year?
Yeah, look, and I think there's no doubt that this year we're seeing increased brand participation in Black Friday, which was coming off a high base as it was. And also increased consumer awareness in Black Friday, because there have been quite a few brands that have gone to market quite early with those comms. And I think from an economic perspective, a lot of Australians are going to be more conscious of what they're spending, you know, during their Christmas shopping this year. So it makes sense that, you know, at least people need to feel like they're saving money, and that requires a bit of pre-planning, and therefore Black Friday becomes even more relevant this year. Yeah, I guess how brands that we work with are strategizing for Black Friday and the build-up to Christmas in general really differs depending on the retail model that they're working within. So if you're talking about a marketplace like eBay or Amazon, they are often quite late to market with Black Friday comms, because just from a an internal perspective, they aren't able to release the deals that they have on the table until maybe a week or even a shorter period before the Black Friday. Whereas independent retailers are at liberty to have a longer run up, and that's what they've been doing very much this year. But I think there are, you know, different behaviours within Australian online shoppers in terms of the time it takes on average for them to discover a product and then to purchase the product online. And that's particularly the case on mobile. So if you, I guess, break down, you know, the Australian market into quarters, the top quartile in terms of speed of decision making is around 45 minutes. And on the other end, it's around 50 days. So you can, you know, there are sort of large chunks of audiences that you can leverage on both perspectives. And so I think it kind of works for a lot of brands, particularly brands that obviously have products that it might be a little bit, you know, with lower awareness in market, or are higher ticket products to start quite early. And then for companies like Amazon, Kogan, eBay, for them, it's about really trying to tap into that impulse purchaser at scale, kind of going, you know, hard and fast later in the year. But yeah, I think from a mobile opportunity, certainly a lot of brands have recognized the shift in user behavior that Val was talking about in terms of mobile being used for entertainment, as well as, you know, for comms, for social at an increasing rate. And that gives brands an opportunity to drive awareness through mobile, not just kind of try to kind of drive that bottom funnel purchase. So it's pretty common that that we see brands start to build towards Christmas, you know, as early as the end of Q3.
And that sort of in-store and digital experience from a lot of research that we've done, you know, that consumer expectation of having, I guess, a quite seamless experience and also the same prices and same products, both virtual and physical, that must make planning for clients really hard from a stock point of view, which I know stock's always been challenged anyway. You having more discussions that I guess bring the real world into your sort of performance and virtual world?
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a real world factor to people kind of doing their browsing in bricks and mortar locations and then comparing prices on the spot and either buying on the spot or buying afterwards on mobile. And I think the strategy there is actually quite straightforward in that you've got to kind of really get your basics right from a search point of view. And so, you know, in some ways there are there are definitely strategies that should be always on and, you know, quite straightforward, like search. And then there are going to be, I guess, some pretty campaign-driven strategies in terms of in-store activation, how that works with mobile. But those are, you know, I think are quite tactical, and it's kind of something that is maybe not as effective en masse than just having a really good, always on, sustained strategy. So yeah, I think the key to navigating that online versus in-store world is to have that really good baseline on mobile media, which I think most brands, regardless of their size now in Australia, are really kind of starting to get and to adopt really effectively.
And Val, Bobby's already mentioned, and I hate that we can't have a conversation without, you know, talking about belt tightening and possible economic, downturn in the market. But on top of, I guess, the advice that Bobby's given in terms of always on strategies, how else, you know, would you suggest marketers, you know, keep that connection with consumers and also not just be constantly about that bargain hunting, but really being able to grab the consumer at the right time?
Yes, yeah, so that's actually a good point, because this year we are actually seeing that 26% of Australians are planning to increase spends this year, which is a smaller percentage compared to last year. And the majority this year, around 43%, are planning to spend about the same as last year. And 32% of people are actually reducing their holiday season spends. So the majority and nearly 2 in 4 Australians are actually planning to save more this year. And 1 in 4 is actually planning to switch to less expensive brands. So as Bobby mentioned before, there is an overall trend that highlights that Australians this year will be a bit more conscious with their shopping choices. And I think that marketers should really focus on trying to understand who their consumers are, because shopping behavior has really changed over the past few years, especially if we compare last year to this year. So they should really focus on trying to understand who their consumers are, what are their needs, and how their consumer behavior look like. So they can actually understand what was the best way to reach them and also what to expect from them. And I also think that, you know, we can bucket them in 3 main categories, which are very different from each other. And for instance, half of Australians can be considered bargain hunters. So they don't tend to plan before buying the presents. They just wait for the offer of the holiday season and then they buy, and also they get some inspiration about what to buy because of those offers. And then the other remaining 50% of Australians can be split in 2 categories. The first one is the category explorers one, which then, and they tend actually to shop ahead and to plan their shopping. They have decided the category they want to shop from, but not the product or the brand. And actually, it's very interesting because 2 in 4 category explorers are planning to spend more this year compared to last year. And then we've got the last one, which is the smallest category in terms of numbers, because it's just the 21%. And this category includes the brand lovers. So basically people that like a specific brand, and they always go for a product from that specific brand. And this category actually has increased compared to last year. And compared to the other two categories, it's less likely to decrease because it doesn't tend to be influenced that much from external factors. For instance, to give an example, Apple, if you've been with Apple for the past 10 years and you've got iPhone, iWatch, iPad, and then you need to buy a new phone, you don't switch to an Android just to save some money. You go for the iPhone and then you save some money across some other categories. So here we can see that, there are some very different type of behaviors across these three categories. And it's really a matter of trying to understand who your consumers are and their habits and then plan a tailored strategy around it.
Yeah. And what do you identify as, Val? Are you a bargain hunter or a...
I think I'm more a category explorer.
You're an explorer.
I know more or less what I want to buy, but then till the last minute, I never know what product or what brand to go for.
Yeah, that you're a marketer's delight then, right? You're open, open but not as price sensitive. What about you, Bobby?
I'm even more delightful for marketers. I do not much research. I just impulse buy. Yeah, I really get sucked into those like social media ads, which are a bit hit and miss on the product quality. But
you're drawn in.
And I do.
And I guess taking that to sort of the work and the creative elements that are coming through, like in terms of messaging to consumers at the moment, I know sort of delivery times were very important to understand that sort of expectation during COVID. Are there any particular, apart from price sensitivity, messaging that's really resonating?
Yeah, so I think the top online purchase driver for Australians over the past few years, both pre-COVID, during COVID, and now, it's remained free delivery. Like that is a huge draw card or expectation, and you know that's sometimes something that's quite challenging to deliver for some businesses. But we've seen that both kind of larger marketplaces and independent e-retailers have found a way to deliver free delivery, so to speak, through subscription models mostly. And I think making a subscription model work requires, again, a very sustained marketing investment throughout the year rather than just going big in Q4 alone. So that's sort of a definite trend we've seen within e-commerce that, yes, there's definitely seasonality to it, but it has become a little bit flatter in terms of, you know, investment per month. And I think, in terms of messaging or how consumers are receiving that messaging, as I said, I'm definitely an impulse shopper, and that's a segment that's increasing, pretty much in line with the pool of influencer marketers that are now active, you know, across Instagram, but increasingly across the likes of TikTok, and that's definitely an offering from an agency perspective that's growing very quickly. It's, you know, trying to, scale influencer content towards a performance objective. And that's a huge growth area for us. So I think, you know, people really trust, particularly Gen Z, really trust influencers from, you know, a product recommendation perspective. And Yeah, I think it's often a lot more cost effective in having influencers create your comms for you, or your ads for you, than doing it in a traditional way. I think that's definitely an area that has become an important part of e-commerce marketing.
They're both really different points, the delivery and the influencer, but they both highlight the importance of, I guess, partnerships and vendors, because your brand ends up becoming, you know, quite identified by, you know, that parcel didn't arrive. Unfortunately, you know, that brand gets sort of, you know, sullied with, you know, that experience, and the same with, I guess, that relationship between brand and influencers as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, influencers can also really, I guess, show that whole experience from discovery through to the excitement of unboxing. And I think as a proof point for people looking for, you know, free and fast delivery, it works quite well.
Any last tips for marketers? You know, we're about to get into the very crazy, crazy, silly season. If marketers were wanting to make the most of this last month or so, any tips for them?
Yeah, so basically, with the fact that pandemic kind of forces us into, you know, online buying, and this sounds a bit negative, but it's not, because actually brands and marketers should see this as an opportunity, because actually people's psychology really changed towards online buying, and now it has become a very common thing to do. So as I mentioned before, people is buying more online, feeling more comfortable to buy online on their phones, also for the browsing and researching part. So it's quite clear that actually marketers should focus definitely on trying to create a better user experience, online user experience, because it's pretty clear that their consumers are actually increasing the time that they spend online, both in the research and the purchase phase. And actually I think that here we can take a kind of like a two steps approach. So as a first step, they should definitely try to grab people's attention by using impactful creatives. They should really try to focus on building something that is innovative and really engaging for their brands. For instance, a while ago, we worked on this playable ad experience for Nike, where basically users were able to change the color of the shoes and try different combinations. Well, basically, at the end, people spent an average of 1 minute and 10 seconds on the ad and created more than 62,000 different combinations, which is actually an incredible achievement when we talk about engagement and attention. And I also noticed that lately many brands across different verticals are actually embracing changes and innovation, and also trying to experiment new things to drive a consumer engagement. And just to give you an example, the fashion industry, which is also one of the top shopping categories this year, has started investing more and more in gaming ads. In some cases, they really brought the user experience to a whole new level. For instance, Burberry and Balenciaga, they even created games. So there are definitely a lot of innovative ways marketers can use to drive this attention and engagement on their products using creatives during this festive season. And also the second point, this one is more focused on the customer journey. So once you've grabbed that attention, you want to keep it throughout the whole marketing funnel. So you should actually focus on the customer journey. Try to make it easier and smoother from the moment the ad gets clicked till the moment the user is ready for the checkout. And actually, this process has been made really easier after 2 years of pandemic, because as I was mentioning before, people really feel comfortable to shop online and on mobile now. And actually, they confirmed that the customer journey has really improved. So they get really quick checkout, shop reviews, loyalty programs are better, and also the return and exchange process has become very easy. So just to summarize, definitely focus on innovative ways to grab that consumer attention with impactful ads, and also try to keep it by creating a very easy and smooth customer journey that will end up in the purchase of the product.
That's great tips, and particularly that, you know, that better user experience. I know a lot of brands almost had to be sort of dragged there kicking and screaming, but the pandemic definitely saw a good investment in infrastructure and that, yeah, and that improved UX. Thank you both so much for your time today. I want to get you back and I'll hear what Christmas presents you've bought your friends and family early in the year, and we'll hear the different approaches and where it's ended up. But thanks so much, Bobby, and thanks, Val.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter. For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.